It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. I'm thrilled that you all are joining in this ongoing conversation that I have with you every couple of Fridays each month, all about how to create a relationship with money and how to really do money. That's not really very grammatically correct, but do money right in a new way. The old game of money, right, was to do and work and work harder and even harder and do some more. And then maybe when you got to the age of 65, you could stop and take a breath and say, what is it that I really want now? Right. And I don't know about any of you, but that's not the way that I really want to live my life. And when we start to inject soul into the conversation about money, now we really get the opportunity to say, who do I want to be? What is my soul want to share? And how can I, in cooperation with soul and divine in this money relationship, how can I create money doing what I want? And, you know, that's something that I am delighted to say that I've been working on and moving towards over the last 20 years that I've been in business. And there's effort that goes along with that, right? I do this podcast, I write, I see clients, I do workshops, all of that. But when it all comes together, I have a life on a day-to-day basis that I really enjoy living. When my kids were younger, I was able to find time to be the mom and the entrepreneur. Now that I'm an empty nester, my husband and I are having all kinds of fun conversations about what we want to do next, right? Do we want to go someplace for a month and structure our businesses so that we can each do it while we're there and vacation as well, right? So there are steps to doing all of this, and there are some choices to be made also, right? Some of the easy choices, some choices are not so easy. But as we make those choices, we really get to set up a life that we love. And that is why I have brought along my guest today, Toby Terry, because you have a lot to say about cultivating a life that really feeds your soul. And so I am delighted that you are here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I love that where you inject the soul into money. I love that. Oh, that felt so good. That gave me all kinds of tingles.
Yeah. So let me say just a few things about you. I think I could spend probably 15, 20, half an hour saying all the things that you do in this world. But so let's just grab some of the highlights, right? You've been in the beauty industry for 25 years, right? You have your own line of products, Naked Soul Beauty.
Right.
And then most interesting, well, not most interesting, but for this conversation, right, you work with women to help them really meld that inner beauty and the outer beauty so that they can show up in the world, right, be visible and do and be who they want to be.
Yeah, really step into their own personal sacred spotlight, uniting their inner and their outer beauty so they can have the confidence to show up in any way they want, you know, in their life, their personal life, or in their business, whether it's on camera, not on camera, on Zoom, whether it's just one-on-one meetings. So just really helping them be confident in who they are and allowing that magic to come through. And then, you know, dress it up a little bit. So yeah. Good.
Yeah.
That even creates more confidence. And so they can really highlight and showcase their true gifts and talents that they're here to share with the world and with their client base.
I love it. We need a lot of that. I mean, we do as we're each stepping into new ways of communication and new ways of showing up. Having that confidence is important.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's easier, you know, it just, you know, it makes things easier. So it's great to take the time. It's good to take the time to help cultivate that and use the tools and the techniques and the guidance and the support and the mentorship that's out there to help us get there in whatever area that we want to build confidence in and that we want to feel ease in our lives. You know?
Yeah. I'm all about easy. I think easy sounds good.
Street or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we all know there's steps that go into it, but we might as well have something that creates ease, right?
Yeah, ease. You know, like not easy where it's like, you know, where you feel like it's like lazy, like not that kind of easy, you know, but ease, like peace and ease and beauty and fun. I mean, we were talking about that the other day, just having more fun, cultivating more fun.
Fun. Yes. another goal.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of ways that we could take this conversation and we'll see what happens as we continue to talk. But, you know, here's where I would love for us to start. What I know about you is that you know firsthand what it's like to make some easy choices and some not so easy choices as you step into the life that you really want to lead. So, can we start with you sharing a bit about your story and kind of some of the choices that you've made in pursuit of living a life that your soul is really calling you towards?
Yeah, I think, you know, well, choosing to become a mother, to become a mom was really easy. Like, I have to say, like, you know, I thought I was going to turn 30 and I was going to want to get pregnant. You know, I've been married for 5 years and I'm like, no. Turn 30. I'm like, no. I'm not ready until I'm 32. So I turned 32. I mean, the day that I woke up on my 32nd birthday, I'm like ready to get pregnant. And I couldn't. And it took me 2 years to get pregnant. And so an easy decision to delay it, like just like that, turned into be this difficult, challenging journey. And obviously, it's worth it. You know, I ended up with two healthy, beautiful twin babies in the end of it, a set of twins, and then, you know, becoming a mother and all the decisions that come with that, you know, not always that easy, a working mom, an entrepreneurial mom. And then I came to a crossroads in my marriage and one day I just woke up and said, you know, I don't have to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And even though deciding to separate actually came really easy to me, not that I want to downplay such a hard decision or a traumatic event for everybody else and everyone, you know, that's connected to it, but it felt like the right decision. Like, so it felt easy to do it. Now the words coming out were not so easy, you know. Yeah. But and then living with it was not so easy. So going on through the divorce journey, and I lived with my ex-husband for 2 years under the same roof before we actually separated. And we separated. Not only did we, it was our 20th anniversary month of totally together, I think 15 years married, yeah, totally together. And it was our divorce. So we were celebrating 20 years together, sort of, and divorcing. And moving out all in the same month. So our divorce was final. I physically moved out and it was our 20 years exactly together. So it was just a really trying time, even though I was happy and I was ready to move on finally and all that. But once the reality of living in two separate households as a divorced single parent, it was awful. So the journey through divorce was really, really challenging and difficult. And then of course that just created guilt and sadness and depression, and through that, so an easy decision became this really hard, traumatic step to get to that life that you want to live, that person that you want to step into, that you know that in some way that you felt held back, or, you know, I didn't have a traditional horrible marriage, so it's even harder to leave, and it's harder to get support because, you know, the husband wasn't cheating, or he wasn't a drop dead drunk, or he wasn't, you know, abusive or any of that. He's like a man that everybody loved and everybody was shocked by. So yeah, it was, that's kind of my journey to get to the woman that I really wanted to step into.
And
it was very difficult.
Right. So, you know, along the way, right, we make our choices and then we have what other people think, right? Yeah. We've got that external judgment. Right. And can you talk a little bit about that and how that showed up for you and what you did to get through that?
Yeah, you know, it's like you already got enough judgment on yourself. You know, it's hard being a woman and hard being a mother that wanted this new life, you know, this decision, you know, 3.5-year-old twins, you know, an easier age group per se compared to like older kids and twins and all that, or teenagers. But it was just really difficult. I mean, I didn't feel like I had the support even of my family. And even though, you know, they wanted to be there for me, but just not the full support, because during the time that we were still living together, it's kind of felt like we were married, but not, like, just had more freedom. And so, and I had immediately dropped a lot of weight. It was just like a lot of energetic weight that I dropped. I was feeling better. I was happier. I was going out and doing things with my girlfriends. I wasn't even drinking alcohol, you know, I was just going out and just enjoying this passion and this new fun filled for life and looking good and feeling good and being energized again. But yet I was still under the same roof. So I didn't have that the full responsibility of the parenting, the full, you know, I still was like splitting everything, the finances, everything. And so I think a lot of judgment came with that, because people saw a lot of saw a lot of happiness. But then when I actually divorced and moved out, and remember, it was almost 2 years later, about 18 months, maybe not quite 2 years. And from our separation, then it was like, oh man, this is just totally downhill. Got definitely a lot more support in that process, because I think my family was really seeing that this is real. It is like a death. It really is. It's so traumatic. Goodbye, the guilt that you feel, the heartbreak that you cause, or the heartbreak you're going through. And you know, yeah, lost a lot of friends along the way, but gained a lot of real ones
too. Sure. Absolutely. So it sounds like there was an awful lot of self-forgiveness that was required with that choice making.
Yeah, you know, and it took a while. So I think it was about a two-year process. I think, you know, it was last year. So I'm 45. So I woke up on my 44th birthday and I finally felt guilt-free. I woke up. I was me and my twins have the same birthday. I had them on my birthday. Oh. Not planned, no waking up around that. They came all natural. And I had plans. They were going off to camp that day. And then that day I was going to go golfing with my parents. And I just felt so liberated from all of it, the guilt, the sadness, the depression, what I had to be doing, what I needed to be doing. I had, and that was 4 years later after my separation. And, you know, I already had gotten into another relationship and then let that go. And so, and just felt like completely free for the very first time of everything besides the love, like this depth of love that I had for my family. Yeah. You know, and I didn't have a lot going on. I thought I was going to have this big 45th birthday, you know, 45 or that was this year, COVID. Sorry, that ruined it. But I thought I would do something really fun, like with all my girlfriends, you know, because I just, you know, it's like, yeah. I had this time and I couldn't really get anyone together. Granted, it's like Father's Day week and graduation week and all that. And I was like, by the end of that 2 week process, I remember that I'm like, wow, I don't want to be doing anything else. I'm going to be with my parents doing my favorite number one activity, which is golf. And then I'm taking my kids out that night. And my ex-husband was invited and he couldn't go. But so I was taking my kids out to their very first fine dining experience. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, God, I really have arrived. Like, this is what I've worked so hard for to feel. You know, just to feel like free and liberated and happy and guilt free. And it's just been a connection deeper and deeper with my children and my ex-husband, which that's a whole nother story, you know, part two, you know, since then. So it's been really great.
So what do you think was pulling you forward through that time? Let me see if there's a better question I can ask about that. Because it really sounds like you knew, right? You, as you said, you woke up and you knew it was time to separate. You woke up, you knew it was time to have a family, right? What do you think is pulling you forward like that?
I just think, like, you know, your soul calling, like your purpose, you get one chance at this lifetime. And no one else is responsible for your happiness. You know, and I really feel like I'm not responsible for anyone else's happiness. I'm there to guide my children, to show them a really amazing path they can be on to really live an amazing filled life. And yeah, and you need to be more wise with your choices along the way, so maybe you don't end up divorced. But it's okay if you grow differently. It's okay if you have different needs, you know, as long as you're doing it in a really loving way, as loving as you can do it. And sure, I made a lot of mistakes during that time and things I wouldn't do again. And, you know, and so, and that's okay. It's just, it's all about the process of forgiveness. And, but to get back to your question, I was really pulled by my soul's calling, just like that. I knew that I wanted to do something more, to be something more, to create something more. And I just knew I wasn't partnered in the right situation at that time for it. I don't know if, you know, right decision, wrong decision. I don't know, but I just felt the calling for something different and more. And you can still do that with love. You can still do that with connection, you know, so to your family.
Right, right. You know, I would imagine that whether it was in your head or somebody else actually saying it or thinking it, right? I think a lot of times we think that when we make choices like that for ourselves, even if we're doing it with love, that it's selfish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a terrible word. I mean, at least our...
Terrible. It's terrible.
In our culture, right? Like, nobody wants to be selfish.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of mistakes can get made during marriages that kind of create divorce, but it's like, I really didn't do anything wrong. Like the traditional wrong things in my marriage, neither did he, you know? Right. And so it's like, I don't know, like why... I don't know why people have so many opinions and judgment about, especially if they've never even gone through it or done it. But I think
I will hold my tongue about that. Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe some people do make the big mistakes, you know, but it's like, but maybe that was their way of saving themselves and doing something totally destructive to themselves. And we all know about deep depression and suicide and all that, you know? So maybe the mistakes that people make during the marriage is preventing them from going really off the deep end.
It's a way out, right? If we don't understand how to stand up for ourselves and how to say, I'm going to make this choice for me because this is what's in alignment, or whatever language, you know, you want to use around that, we do the destructive thing, right?
Yeah. Maybe
you go out for the affair, or you go out, you know, you're using alcohol, whatever. And so we got to, as a culture, back off the judgment train a little bit, right?
I mean, how many parents have abandoned their children, you mm-hmm. know? Like I grew up in a house where my mom raised my three brothers that were my dad's kids from three, five, and seven. Their mom never came back,
right.
You know? And so I don't know what she was thinking or feeling. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. So, you know, my mom stepped in and she did this amazing job. So, I mean, it can go a lot of different ways, you know, drug addiction, pill popping, you know, like, I mean, or just getting in bed and not ever getting out, you know? And it's like, I didn't want to go down that road. Not to say that I would never become a drug addict or a pill popper or alcoholic, because I know those tendencies. But there's times where I wanted to get in my car and not come back.
Right. Right.
You know, get in my car and go away for a week. you know, but I don't know. You know, it's just, I just knew I had a bigger calling and I just wanted to do it in a different way, but still in a very connected way. And I knew when I got divorced, when I moved out, I wanted to make the right decisions of people that I brought in, you know, the other relationships that I bring in. I didn't want to live with anyone. I didn't live with anyone else. Yeah. I wouldn't want to bring anyone in if I couldn't go and have dinner with my ex-husband and my kids. Like that's not, nope, sorry, that's a deal breaker if you want to be with me, you know? So I still kept my family unit, the top priority, you know, in terms of keeping that connection.
Yeah. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Okay. You know what? I think this feels like a really good time to kind of take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking about this combination of living life from soul and spirit and self with a capital S instead of, you know, the selfish with the small S. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange Moment. Do you want to be the best you can be? Do you want to live your dream life? Anything is possible when you choose to consciously evolve. Begin by noticing your reaction to things in your everyday life. When a reaction is uncomfortable, this is a sign that there's an inner root cause that has triggered you and is calling out to be healed. Take action to transform and heal those limiting beliefs or trauma experiences that no longer serve you. Take time daily to recognize your reactions and then set out to heal and release them using one of many somatic healing modalities available. How will you choose to evolve today? Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance, and I am your host, Jennifer Bloom, and I'm here with my guest. And so, Toby, would you please, before we dive back into story and talking about self and soul, would you let everybody know how they can find you, how they can learn more about the work that you do in the world?
Oh, yes. You can go to tobyandterry.com. And that's Toby with an EY. And then you can find me in my Facebook group, Confidence Unleashed.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. And I'm going to encourage everyone to go take a look. Toby has so many things that she offers to the community. It's really fantastic. All right. So we've been talking about making choices and getting through some of those hard parts. And, you know, one of the things that I think that you're a really strong voice for, both personally and then out in the world, is this idea of self-care, right? And how self-care makes it easier to, it makes it easier to do everything, but it allows us to really show up as who we are. And when we can do that, then we can make the choices that are going to serve ourselves. So tell me a little bit about self-care and how that plays a role in your life and what you share about self-care.
Yeah, I've been in the beauty industry for 25 years, working in a variety of ways, but starting off as a salon and spa owner, hairstylist. So I have been doing self-care on women, helping cultivate their beauty, feeling good inside and out. They come in and it's like, it's not just there to get their hair done. They're here to get relaxing, feel good, get touched, massage. Someone can listen to them. So it's just, women are busy. They have a lot on their plate. And I think men as well. I mean, it's great for men and women to really cultivate a self-care practice. And I think it's important to really create that space. I call them beauty boundaries. Create that space and that time for it. And I know we can just debate a lot about self-care, what it is, what it isn't. I mean, I was on a Facebook thread and someone said, even doing dishes can be self-care. And I said, not in my book.
Yeah. You can do meditation while you're doing the dishes, but yeah, I get your objection.
Yeah, not where I come from, not in my role. I'm like, well, that's great, like, to like check off, like, that feels good, you know, right? It feels good, but it's going to be back at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah, so true.
That's not going to feel like self-care in the second round and the second round of dishes in the same day. But I mean, but really taking the time to nurture your body and to nurture your soul. So I'm a really, I mean, I love soul care. Obviously, it's all infused in my brand with affirmations on the bottles, which was part of my journey in my divorce, is really utilizing so much self-care and so much soul care, spirituality, like crazy, to get over that pain and the heartbreak and the depression and the judgment and the guilt and all that stuff. So I'm a really big, you know, advocate of soul care and spirituality and everything like that, but also being on that flip side too of beauty related self-care, and being in the beauty business for so many years and really taking that time to nurture your body, you know, whether it's just a massage or bath or the things that create that that visual outer beauty feeling of taking the time and, you know, doing your makeup and going out to dinner with your husband or your loved one. And, you know, look, I'm on a podcast and I'm wearing sequins, you know?
I love it. Oh, I love it. I need to up my game.
You know, and just like, you know, just dazzling it up a little bit, or, you know, giving yourself a wonderful facial and then doing a meditation while the mask is sitting on your face. And then when at the end of it, you got this glowing skin, you know, or curling your hair or going to the salon and doing something for your hair, getting your nails done or wearing nail polish or whatever. I practice in all kinds. I have no nail polish on right now. My nail polish game's not on right now, you know, but I got some sequins on.
So. That's right. You're forgiven. It's all right.
That's my point. It's not about everything. It's about, it's about infusing it in whatever feels good for you in your sacred practice of beauty, you know, your beauty self-care practice. So yeah, so it's important to create the time and to really infuse some more fun into it as well.
You know, that's really fascinating, Toby, because, you know, I think a lot about my sacred practice, right? I have a lot that goes on. There's a lot of conversation that I have between my soul and myself. But the idea about adding in the beauty aspect of it, but when I think about it, right, our physical containers hold our soul, right? So when we can be in that space of feeling really good, when, you know, that idea about massage or really amazing facial and just really taking the time to honor, like I said, this physical container, it's going to make it easier to connect vertically, right? Up through to the soul.
Absolutely. I mean, especially when you're actually in the moment of those acts, like let's say you brought up massage and I said massage earlier.
Right.
It's so connected to soul. I mean, just think about like the thoughts that you're having or the meditative like state that you get in when you're having a massage. And it's so important. It's so essential. We're going through COVID and what's essential, what's not essential. And it's like just that feeling of managing your body and, you know, and feeling good. And then what it cultivates, how you feel when you come out of it, like you're literally floating out of it, especially if you go a little bit more on the luxury side of it and you go and you get a really nice massage in a nice location, they give you those robes and oh, it feels so good. And you come out and you're like, where's the cup of tea, you know, and you're just like, and you're ready to have those like inspiring thoughts or journal or, you know, or you're getting dressed and you're going home. You're like, oh, I can't wait to see my family or, you know, and so it just really cultivates all this peace and beauty and love. And you know, that's what I talk about when I work with women in my program, of like really uniting that inner and outer beauty, because it's all connected. And now, like, now you're feeling more inspired to work on the outer beauty and to feel good, because you want to like look good and feel good. When you look in the mirror, you're like, God, I really want to be excited by what I see because I feel so good. Or, you know, you're working on the outer beauty and it's like, oh, I want to feel really good inside. So really bringing in those other practices. So it really does unite.
Absolutely. You know, I've done, it took a lot for me to get on video, a lot. And but what I recognize about that is, even when I wasn't on video, I was still carrying all that tension in me, right? Like, don't see me, right. Listen to me, but don't see me. Right. How can I put a message out to the world when my whole being is screaming, don't look at me? Right. So it's really powerful. It goes beyond, like, you know, because again, there's some stereotypes to focusing on the outer beauty, right? It's like, oh no, I should look just soul.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you can't talk about the outer beauty without sounding, you know, like vain or selfish. You're going back to that word selfish, you know, and that's another thing with self-care is that women can sit there and talk about all they do all day long around the house or whatever, and this and this and this, you know, or even the soul care part. Oh, I journaled for 2 hours, you know, but no one can really be celebrated. Like, oh, I went to the spa for 2 hours, my facial, but look how good my hair looks, you know? And it's like, you know, spend the time and spend the money and be loud and proud about it. Because you know what, if you're that confident and you know that you deserve to be seen and you deserve to be touched and nurtured and to the point where you actually like look so great coming out of it and you feel great, because there when you look great and you've spent the time in the salon as a form of self-care, and we have to go there and get our hair cut. Everybody has to get their hair cut, you know, and people that get their color, you know, they don't not only just look better, but they feel better and they talk about how they feel. So being really out about it. And so if you don't really feel that way about yourself, then like you're not really showing up for your clients in the full capacity that you can and that they deserve. So
true. It's interesting because it's the same thing about money, right? Because when I made the transition from talking about fertility to money, it was another one of those things like, oh, I don't know, you know, money, is it shallow to speak about money? And of course, you know, we all need money on this planet. And when we look at it in this new way, when we connect it with soul, now we get to do it in a way where it's not about power. It's not about like crowing how much money you have. It's really about the choices that you get to make. It brings you freedom, right? Yeah. And then, you know, as you were speaking about taking care of yourself and nurturing yourself, one of the things I talk about with money is one of the three aspects of the money relationship is your relationship with yourself.
Right.
And it's everything is woven together here, right? Because when you can show up and you give yourself the time to be nurtured, you know, one of the most important things, and I was saying this to a client the other night, and I honestly, this is one of the messages I needed to hear, was I matter.
Right.
I matter on this planet, because if I don't think I matter, if I'm pushing people away from seeing, right, and not showing up fully confident, how's money ever going to find me?
It's so true. And it's okay to like, to say that and to feel that I matter. So what I do and how I show up matters.
Yeah.
And it feels really good. So, you know, you can show up one way, but when you show up in another way, let's say you show up in some sequins, you know, then you just show up feeling really good because you took the time to work on yourself, to take care of yourself. You're telling the person that you're working with that they matter. You know, it's funny because I had a Zoom call this morning at 8:30 a.m. and I knew I had this at 12 p.m. So that's quite a big time difference. I didn't want to get full, not that I needed full makeup or whatever to get on a Zoom call, but I literally got on a Zoom call with a person that I might be working with, not one of my clients. I would have showed up. I was going to be one of her clients. I would have showed up more professionally,
yeah.
But just with everything I had going on, I just, you know, I got dressed, but I had no hair, no makeup on. And I'm like, I kept apologizing, you know, like I didn't show up and I didn't look good, you know, and not that I needed to apologize, but I felt it. And I'm like, I felt it because I'm on camera and I didn't show up like fully, like in like present, because I was too worried about it. And not that I have to be worried about it, but I like being professional when I'm in a professional situation, and I didn't do it in that because of everything I kind of had going on. And that told me that, you know what? No, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to show up like feeling my best, looking my best, and feeling confident in whatever that is for you every time I show up for somebody, you know.
Right. And I like what you added right there at the end. It's like what it means to you.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I know for the first part of my life, I lipstick was not my thing. I would never leave the house without mascara, but it is now my thing. Right. Well, because otherwise I have no lips when I'm on the shot, all the light. Right.
But, so good on you. I know, I'm on camera, I'm all, whoa, you look amazing.
The Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, but we get to pick it, right? And so it goes along with, we get to make those choices. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. It's funny. There's this trend in marketing right now. I don't know who's teaching it, but it's like people, like they literally look like they've rolled out of bed. They turn on the camera and they've rolled out of bed. And I'm thinking, if you can't take time, it's like, I don't care really. I mean, but there's a line between
professionalism,
right? It's like, if you can't make that time to put yourself together for me, why am I listening to you? It irks me.
And in my program in Live Camera Confidence, I teach those tricks on the times where let's say it is like a morning, I'm just, like a journaling morning tip technique or practice or what, let's look at what the situation, the context is, but there are ways that you can show up still makeup free or hair free with cuter pajamas, or like I did a walk yesterday. Of course, I didn't really have a lot of makeup. I had a little bit of gloss on or chapstick on, but I had, my pony, my hair was kind of down. I was, woohoo. And the trees were in the background.
Yeah.
So you can bring that inner beauty out and that magic. But if you're looking like you just rolled out of bed and you're talking like you just rolled out of bed and you're acting like it, that is not going to engage anybody.
Right. So do you have a tip or two that you could share either in the realm of bringing together? I mean, you've been talking about it, throughout our conversation, but anything, another tip that you could share about kind of uniting this inner and outer beauty, or about feeling confident to make choice for yourself with a capital S?
Yeah. I think just really getting quiet and in terms of making choices for yourself, really looking at what you want, yeah. What's the path to get there, and start practicing the joy and the fun and the happiness of what you see in the future, the vision. Start really cultivating that right now and just finding the strength and the courage to make the hard decisions and the tools and the techniques and the tips and whatever it is that you need to kind of create more ease into it. So I think that for sure is just really kind of get quiet with it and lay out a journey for that to get there, because you deserve it. You earn it. We only have one life. And then in terms of really like taking care of yourself and having that self-care and that confidence and uniting that inner and outer beauty, it's really using the tools that are out there and the techniques and all of that. It's like, if we want better health, we're just not going to go into the kitchen to eat whatever we want. There's the juicer, and then there's the walking shoes, and then there's all the stuff. So same thing with outer beauty. It's like, really like utilize your local salon, go in there, even if it's just to go get a conditioning treatment and a blowout, just go and experience what it feels for someone to touch you and nurture you. And then you walk out looking great.
Okay. Okay. I have a very embarrassing thing to ask you.
Oh, okay.
What's a blowout?
No,
I see it everywhere. You can go get your blowout. And I'm like, does that like just literally mean getting your hair like styled and all right.
Like a blow dry. Go and get a blow dry style. Yes.
Thank you.
I'm in the new lingo. I've been doing hair for 25 years. It was a blow dry. A round brush blow dry. That's what it was really.
Okay. Called. Okay. Very good. All right. Now thank you for that piece of education for myself. So
at home, just taking the time and giving yourself a facial at home and lighting some candles, getting your favorite meditation and really uniting that inner beauty, which is the meditation. It's that feeling that you feel inside. And then when you're taking care of your skin and you're nurturing your skin, you're going to have that visual effect afterwards. And it connects. It's all united. You can't have one without the other. It's like you work on the outer beauty, it unites to your inner beauty and it unites to your soul. So don't forget during that soul work, what are you doing for the outer?
Yeah. So you've mentioned a couple of times about the power of touch, right? To get touched. What do you think the role is with touch? Why do you think that's so important?
I just think as humans, it's just, we just feel it. It starts to heal and nurture us. I mean, when someone sits down in my chair, I always start to kind of rub their shoulders. If I don't know them, I don't do that. If it's their first time.
Right.
But I'll look at their hair. If they have longer hair, if they're a woman, they have hair, or even if they have short hair, I'll put their hands through it. So immediately it starts to build a relationship and a connection with them.
Yeah.
And even when I'm just coloring people's hair, it's just like that the tug and the feel. And then when you're talking to them and you're caring for them and you're asking them questions and you're making the service of them, then it just, it all starts to get like connect. It starts to really, the transformation already starts to happen. And so it like, you know, when you go get a facial or you go get a massage or you go get a pedicure or a manicure, you start to feel it immediately when they start to touch you. And it just, it starts to work, starts to do the work for you.
Yeah. Well, and I know that, you know, in the world of love languages, right, touch can certainly be a love language. And that, you know, and I think it's something that we miss a lot during this COVID time is that touch and interaction, you know, to go and not hug somebody. It's really hard, isn't it? It's just, it's really crazy.
It's against human nature, you know.
It is.
We're meant to connect. So when you're actually doing that for yourself, as a form of self-care, I mean, you know, I'm a professional hairstylist, right? Like I've been doing it for 25 years. I can't give myself the same massage that I can give somebody else. It does not feel the same. Like it does not feel like it. We all know that, right? We all have gone to get our haircuts or whatever and got our hair washed. And I mean, then we do it in the shower. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same when we rub our feet, you know, the same way when someone else does it. So it's the power of touch and human connection and really, and it's the intention behind that touch. Really, I'm going to get this done so I can get myself taken care of. I can get nurtured so I can take care of myself right now. It's my turn.
Yeah. Right. And in doing all of that, saying I matter, right? That is exactly what you're saying. Oh my goodness. Toby, thank you so much. This has been an amazing conversation. I appreciate all your wisdom and your time today and sharing your story and talking about the different choices and making the hard choices and then this unifying your inner and outer beauty and really being able to show up. You show up for yourself first and then for other people, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much. And again, I'm going to encourage all of you who are listening to go to Toby's site and to take in these messages. She's just got a lot to offer. So we are going to take a quick break. This is Soul Wisdom Abundance. And when we come back, I'm going to lead you through a couple of exercises to get into what Toby was talking here right at the very end. She's talking about what is it that you want? And then doing some visualization. So we're actually going to walk through that in our third segment here. So we'll see when we come back.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I'm Jennifer Bloom, and we just finished a fantastic conversation with Toby Terry. And I want to pick up where we left off. One of the things that Toby talked about at the end was really looking at what it is that you want. And that's a big conversation. One of the things that money gives us is freedom. In fact, I think that's sort of the top thing that money gives us. It gives us freedom. It gives us freedom to choose, right? I know certainly if I'm experiencing a tug on my bank account or times in my life where I've had serious tugs on my bank account, that feeling of being trapped is huge, right? So when you have money and money beyond the bills, and when you're into life that is more flourishing, you have a lot of freedom of choice. But what's interesting is that when I start talking with people about what it is that they want, and they come to me and they say, I want to create money in an easier way, and I want to create more of it, and I'll ask the question, why? And they stop. And I think it's a combination of like, well, can I really ask for what I want? And then not really knowing what it is what they want. And, you know, I think this is, I could spend a lot of time talking about why that happens. I think we're told to, one of the limiting patterns that shows up a lot is just, you know, do something with what you have, right? Don't spend your time off in dreamland because you might get disappointed. Be grateful, be appreciative of what you have. Don't start thinking about all those other things that you could have. Really, instead, be appreciative of what you want. And, you know, there's some truth to all of that, except for, again, it really dampens things down. It keeps us from really making decisions about what we want. And there's a couple things to say about that. The first is, if we don't know what we want, if we're sort of vacillating here, there, and everywhere, we're never going to have a coherent enough vibration to send to the universe. The universe is going to say, what do you want? Do you want the green sofa? Do you want the blue sofa? Do you want a house? Do you want a loft? Do you want to live downtown? Do you want to live in the country? Right? Like, you've got all of these different things going. I'm happy to hand it to you, but you're going to have to decide. Right? I can't, that again, the frequency just isn't strong enough. And then the other part of it is, when we make a decision, it creates an energetic container for the universe to fill. So it really behooves you to know what you want. Now, the universe is also out there to surprise and delight you, but so you don't have to know everything about everything that you want, but you have to know enough to make a decision so the universe can start bringing you things, right? So the one other thing to say here before I lead us through an exercise is that when we don't really think ahead about what we want, I think we end up living out of pattern. We live out of old beliefs. We live out of our old stories and what people around us have said, right? So if we don't take the time to think about what we want, then, right, you fall into that trap of, well, I need a really good income, so maybe I should choose to be a lawyer or a doctor or an accountant. Or if I'm already a lawyer, a doctor, or an accountant, I'm going to need to keep doing that. Otherwise, how am I going to keep my income stream going? Right? Parents always said, can't make money as an artist, or, oh, you better save everything before you have fun, right? So if we don't actively work on what it is that we want, other people's voices are going to take over. And we can get wisdom from other people, and we can get a lot of crap from other people. So we might as well start taking a look at what we want. And I am always going to guide you to connect with your soul when you start asking those kinds of questions. It's not about sitting in your conscious mind and thinking hard about what it is that you want. If when you take that conversation to the soul level, you get information you might never have accessed before. And you get information in a way that when you hear it, it's a solid yes through your body. And you get that solid yes, which means that the frequency is solid enough to go out to the universe. That solid yes creates the container, right? So let's do a quick exercise. And if you are listening on replay, or even if you're listening live, remember you can download the episodes and you can run through the exercise in your own time. And of course, if you're listening to the recording, just go ahead and pause between the questions, okay? So the first way to start, if you're willing, in some place where you can close your eyes, please do that. Take a couple of deep breaths. And we're going to ask divine intelligence to integrate body and soul. I want to align your energetic channel by asking your earth star and your heaven star to align. And now imagine that you can drop your consciousness, meaning the part of you that's thinking, that can drop into your heart, where you can take a couple of breaths there. And from here, I'm going to ask you to ask divine intelligence to create a conscious connection between you and your soul. If you are somebody who knows your soul languages, you can connect with your languages or connect with your soul just by asking divine intelligence to connect you. And then let's just start asking a few questions. What is it that you love about being on this planet? Like, what do you love to do? It could be an occupation or something that you love to do for fun. Right? One of my answers is that I love to help people make transformation. Okay, really rich, deep transformation and looking for patterns. Those are things I love to do. How do you want to live? Do you want to be kind of, do you want to be stable? Do you want to have a house and kind of have that be your home base and you do everything from there? Or do you want to be more of a wanderer? Do you want to travel? Do you want to be able to be mobile and move around? What's your ideal setting for living? What type of community do you want to have around you? Are you somebody that's an extrovert and you need lots of people all the time? Or are you okay being more of an introvert and having a lot of alone time? How do you want to bring me in? Do you want money coming through a paycheck from somebody else? Or do you want freedom of working your own business? And then final question, whose voice do I get to let go of to make my own choices, both about all of these questions and choices about money? Beautiful. Okay. So let's just say thank you to your soul and come on back. And I ran through those very quickly. So again, make sure you go back and kind of fill in your answers. And then here's what I'm going to invite you to do with the answers. I want you to create a story, an image that brings all of those together, right? See yourself living, you know, if it's that you, like, I would love to live in a house by the by a river up on a bluff, right? That would be my absolute favorite place to live. So bring it all together and just practice it. Feel it. That's the most important part, is to really feel what it is that you want and see it in action. And as you do that, you're going to find that you are creating containers. And those containers are going to ask you to ask for more information. Okay. And this is just the beginning step. All right. But you really want to get clear on what you want. Okay. So if you would like help with this, or if you would like more information about it, come visit me at my website, Jennifer Bloom, or even better, come to Facebook, find my page on Soul Abundance. You're going to have a lot more information there. Okay. All right, everybody. Well, it's been a fantastic time together. And I look forward to it. If you have any questions, please reach out, drop me an email, Jennifer@JenniferBloom. Okay. So I look forward to meeting with you next time. I'm here on Transformation Talk Radio, the first and third Fridays of every month. I look forward to having that next rich conversation with you about doing money in a different way. So until we meet again, everyone, prosperous blessings.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.